This is the Fog Pod where we're reporting on the reporting of
this
the
Foghorn. This is the Fog Pod where we're reporting
this
on
is
reporting.
The Fog Pod where we're reporting on the reporting of the
this
Fog.
This is the Fog Pod where we're reporting on the reporting of the Foghorn. Okay, we're good. Hi, I'm Katie Knott.
I'm Miles Herman. This is the Fog Pod where we're reporting on reporting.
We are recording on the reporting.
Okay, you're right. So we have Miles Herman here, my co-host, to talk about the story. This isn't going to be a regular occurrence. He just happened to be the writer of the story this week. So,
Ooh.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about it.
So I'm the interviewee.
Interviewee. You are the interviewee this time around. This week, we're going to be talking about a story that we published in the Foghorn, talking about how USF bought a farm. So the farm is called Starroots Farm. It's an hour's drive north of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's in the city of Bolinas. And we purchased it in August 2017 for $10.4 million.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's a beautiful property. It's the longest certified organic farm that's been continually operating in California, which means that it's got like historical significance. It's been like a international like spot. Where, like, that's in the story, it mentions that, like, Prince Charles visited in 2005. And I think that it's just really a property that the Bay Area and particularly those interested in farms care about. At first, like, are we getting into the whole story?
Yeah, we're gonna get into it.
Okay, so at first, it was just like, this would be a really cool piece that the Foghorn should do. Like, it would be a bunch of description of the farm. It would be a chance for like nice language in a news section that's not just like quote statement and it would be good pictures, so it'd create a lot of interest and like catch people's eyes. And then when I went to go take the journalism one class with Professor Moore, she was like, Miles, you're gonna be writing about this, right? And I was like,
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, like, if you really want me to, I will. Because I was going to pick something that would have been, like, easier and wouldn't have required me to go out there. But so I went into that class, and I started reporting on it. It was with Beth Hoffman and Julia Brecky, and they were going out there interviewing some of the people who were working on the farm. And so that gave me a chance to be able to actually see it and get the descriptions that are in the story now. And then I was also interviewing people like Father Fitzgerald and Melinda Stone, and I also did the interview with Warren Weber that semester, and so that's why a lot of the quotes in the story from Fitzgerald or Melinda are from that semester and not this one. Don Heller was quoted in the story as saying that we don't have any plans in the short term, midterm to schedule classes out there. And it's kind of weird because having a farm that's an hour's drive at least, like without traffic, an hour's drive, that means that you can't take like a normal scheduled class. So you have to kind of keep that in mind when you're creating classes. And one thing that a lot of people were talking about when I was writing this story in the spring was the idea of long stay and immersion projects. And that's when I also found out that about 40% of the funds used to purchase it were taken from cash reserves and are being paid back by the donation campaign.
And what do we typically use cash reserves for when we're not buying farms?
So cash reserves are basically a term just used to describe all of the cash that the university has on hand at a time. So normally that's spent on, it'll be spent throughout like a semester or a year on faculty pay, staff pay. That's when like there's this big spike, and that's when we get most of the cash reserves. And then immediately we take out student scholarship, and that's why in the story it says net tuition instead of just tuition. So, yeah, we're spending that on things like financial aid, faculty and staff pay, building maintenance and things like that.
So let's talk about programming. So the reason why we bought this farm was, well, there were a lot of reasons why we bought the farm.
Yeah, I was about to.
there's a lot of reasons why we bought the farm, like we just talked about. But one of the big reasons was like the potential programming we could offer students here, especially those in like environmental science and environmental studies. What progress have we made on programming?
So just before I get into the progress on programming, I think it's also important to note that in like my interview with Father Fitzgerald and like a couple different professors, they were all emphasizing that it's not just programs that are normally interested in environmental things. So it's programs like the business program can be looking at the business model, since we're like a university running a business, and undergraduate and graduate students can have influence into that, and like they can be working on it as a project. So it's an opportunity not just for those programs, like not just environmental studies, environmental science, but it's like an opportunity for the entire school to take advantage of it.
It's meant to be versatile.
Yeah.
So we talk about in the story how Heller, when asked about, like, you know, why it is that we don't have these like overnight stays happening, why we don't have the programming, he gave us two big reasons. One of them was the farm septic systems, and the other was the fact that he thought that student activity on the farm would be disruptive to the Bolinas community.
Well, three big reasons, and the impacting farm operations.
And impacting farm operations.
So on the septic system, that's like, that was a question in my head of like, is this like a fixable thing? Is it something that can be upgraded? And originally in our interview, he said that it hasn't been assessed yet. It hasn't been upgraded or anything like that. And then in a follow-up, he said that it had been assessed before the purchase, but it still hasn't been, you know, upgraded. Like it was only assessed to be capable for residential use, not checked for commercial use, which is what it would be if, say, a class of 20 went out there and were staying overnight and, you know, all using the same couple toilets and going into the same tank of poop.
Gilson.
Yeah. no, so that's something that is definitely keeping kids from getting out there. And, I mean, I get why they're being hesitant about that, because if a septic tank did like leak or something on an organic farm, that would definitely mess it up. And then the other reason that he gave was impacting the Bolinas community. I know that at least at the time of purchase, there was like a ton of excitement around students actually going out there and interacting with the Bolinas community, and that Melinda Stone right now has a class that she like regularly takes out to Bolinas, but not to the farm. And I don't see how students staying on the farm would be any like more harmful impact than like regularly going out
to
Bolinas.
They're already going out there.
Yeah, so that was also another confusing thing. The last one that he gave was impacting farm operations, which just seems like it could be avoided just by like being conscious of that, you know, where it's like, okay, if they're tilling the land, don't step in front of a tractor, you know, like you can still be out there and not like messing with their work.
Yeah. So since we did buy this farm a year ago, what have you found out about what's been done? Like, what's happening there? Nothing's been happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so
What
do we know about any type of progress that's been made on this? Have we had professors consulted about the types of class they could have there?
So supposedly there's a research, what they've been calling like a research work group, which is meeting with like professors and having conversations about that. But it's a really loose group. Like when I asked Melinda Stone, the professor who proposed the farm purchase, about it, she was like, yeah, I don't really, like, I've been going to meetings, but I'm not in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it seems unclear how people are supposed to, like, get out there. Yeah. There's been faculty retreats and board of trustees retreats and and those have all been day trips where basically they go out to the farm and are having like a meeting or working on a project inside of like Druids Hall, which is the biggest home on the property. It's not like every day that there's like an SF Chronicle article about a university buying something or an SF Chronicle article about a farm being bought, but there like was one on this. It goes to show that it's like a unique property and a unique thing that the university bought that. I think that it kind of shocked people.
Mm-hmm.
Something that people might forget that we have.
Yeah. Thank you, Miles, for coming and for talking about the story. You'll see him next week.
Yep. Next week, I'll be interviewing another writer who's not one of us.
Yeah. For a change. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
thank you for listening. Thank you to the Shores Trio for letting us use their music. You can listen to their album on Apple Music and Spotify, Out of the Blue by the Shores Trio.
A huge thank you to our sound engineer, Meg Caruana. Okay, so we'll see you next week.
On the Fog Pod.
Woo! Episode 1, done.